Good evening. Welcome in. My name is Mark Harmon. This is Patty Vasquez Show. Patty off tonight. I'm with you till 1 in the morning. You might not recognize this music. I don't know if... Actually, I do know that I don't recognize this music. But Vivian Leneau is producing tonight, and I just asked her to... Kind of sad to say this, but I asked her to pull the St. Louis Blues theme song. And apparently this is it. I don't know if this is it or not, but this is the WGN St. Louis Blues theme song.
Let's just roll with it.
This isn't Phantom of the Opera plays baseball?
This is what we got. You know, we're not diehard Blues fans over here. In fact, I generally want everything... sports-wise, bad to happen to St. Louis. But the St. Louis Blues have just won the Stanley Cup. But a half hour ago, crowned for the first time ever, 50-plus years in existence, the St. Louis Blues get it done. Game 7 on the road. 4-1 win over the Bruins. And I know that this city is classy, and I know this station is classy, and I know... this state is classy, and I know the people listening all around the country who are diehard Chicagoans, diehard fans of the Blackhawks, and the White Sox, and the Cubs, and the Bulls, and everything Chicago. We don't want to see St. Louis win. In fact, we hate it when St. Louis wins. Cardinals, the Blues, the football team, the Rams was still in St. Louis, it would bother us. My brother went to Wash U down in St. Louis. Whatever they are, I'd probably root against them. But I'd like to be classy tonight, and as we start the show here at 312-981-7200, I'm inviting Chicago Blackhawks fans specifically, and sports fans period, to call in at 312-981-7200 and congratulate St. Louis. First time they've ever won it. They've been battling their way. No one really expected him to do it this year, but they did. And I think it'd be great if we could have just a whole tape to send to KMOX and say, congratulations, St. Louis. Here we are in Chicago. Because you know they wouldn't do that for us down there. But we could take the high road right here and give congratulations to St. Louis. The Blues. Ryan O'Reilly. He scored for the fourth straight game. Rookie Jordan Binnington stopped 32 shots. The Blues beat the Bruins 4-1. Alex Pietrangelo added a goal and an assist. Braden Schenn and Zach Sanford also scored for St. Louis. The Blues, if we go back to New Year's Day morning, when Don Kleppen was rolling around in his bed, they had the worst record in the league. The worst record in the league! But they won 30 of their final 49 regular season games. And they ripped through the playoffs. They got to the finals for the first time since 1970. And tonight, they won a Game 7 on the road to take it home. Craig Berube, who took over for the head coach Mike Yeo, was fired in November. They fired their coach all the way back in November. Fourth coach in the past 11 years hired in the midseason to lead his team to an NHL title. I mean, the storylines are just tremendous. They got outshot tonight, but the Blues came through when it was big. So, for some reason, right now, 312-981-7200. Nobody, Vivian, is calling in.
She's, I was wondering. I was like, wait a second.
No one.
That's the only genuinely happy Chicagoan for St. Louis.
Not a single person has picked up the phone line on this beautiful Wednesday night to congratulate St. Louis. 312-981-7200.
You know, I was going to say, it was in Boston, and I think the Northeast has enough sports trophies up there right now.
Right, right.
So I'm actually... you know, two teams not loving either of them very much, but I gotta say, I would rather it somebody be a little closer to home here than another one.
All right, Don. So that's a nice comment right there.
Yeah,
Patriots have been dominating. The Bruins have, this would have been their seventh cup. They don't need it as bad. Celtics have what, 17 championships?
Right.
But text line right now.
Red Sox too.
It's Red Sox, right? 630. So sorry. Can't do it. 2-2-4. Ha ha. Crickets. Maryland's texting in. Congratulations to St. Louis. I see. I think I'm a believer that we actually have some, how should I put this? I don't know. Good-hearted perspective, good sportsmanship, all that. I think we have this on 720 WGN. I believe we can do it. 8-1-5. I'm not going to call in, but I have to say, pretty decent win by the Blues. That's that. You didn't want to make the effort to pick up the phone. Maybe you're in a quiet house. I get it. That's nice of you. 312-981-7200. I want to send this tape to KMOX. Might want to hand deliver it. Congratulations, St. Louis. We're happy for you. It's a good thing to do. Like when you lose to your enemy, you get beat at work by somebody. Maybe they get a job that you wanted, but you say congratulations. You know, it just makes you feel good inside.
You lose gracefully.
You're right. You took the high road. That's what we're looking to do here. Hey, Max in Hillside, what's going on, man? Welcome to WGN. Can we do this?
Yes. Thanks. Great show. I definitely want to congratulate the St. Louis Blues and their fans for winning the Stanley Cup. First time ever. It's extraordinary.
Max, are you a diehard Blackhawks fan?
I used to be a diehard Blackhawks fan. Love the Hawks. The Blackhawks have showed us that hockey, NHL hockey, is an incredible sport. So I love to see great hockey. We saw it in the playoffs. We wish the Hawks were in there. I wish the Hawks were taking the cup right now. But for those St. Louis fans that have been suffering for whatever a million years,
right?
You gotta feel good for them right now.
All right, Max, you kicked it off, man. I appreciate you.
Take it easy.
Good job. Let's see here. Text line 815. Not a Blues fan, but you have to hand it to them. They deserved it. Very nice. 815. Solid. 773. I was about to congratulate the Blues, but I had to stop to tie my shoe. That's Glenn in Evanston. Glenn, you do you, Glenn. Get that shoe tied. Stay in your lane. I get it. It's hard. This is not easy right now. St. Louis. I mean, like, why would anybody ever go to St. Louis? You're going to go see the Arch? I mean, seriously. What's that? How do you even get up in that thing? Oh, it's cool. We just walked up. Oh, there's the Mississippi. I mean, come on.
You're hating hard tonight.
Nah. I want to say nice things. Let's see. Hassan in Northbrook. You got something nice to
say?
That's me. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Hey,
yes.
My wife's from Springfield, and they all root for the Cardinals, and I'm rooting for the Cubs, and I'm glad St. Louis won in hockey. You know, the Hawks didn't take them seriously when they came into the league in the '60s, and now they're a valid opponent.
Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita didn't take the Blues seriously in the '60s. Are you sure about that, Hassan?
I felt they never really got up for the game. I felt like they just didn't. They just didn't have it in them. They would go for the original six, but not the expansion.
Wasn't there a So your wife's a St. Louis fan, and you're happy for your family. Did I hear that right, Hassan?
That's right.
Okay. All right.
They got Glenn Hall from us, and when they first started,
right?
And he did well there, but. But that's because the Hawks had bad management in those days. They didn't keep the good players. They're much better with their present administration.
I got you. Thank you, Hassan. Appreciate it. That's right. I mean, look. I mean, Bobby Hull is a Blackhawk, father to Brett Hull. Brett Hull played his whole. You know, he was a St. Louis Blue. A lot of people wanted Brett to be a Hawk. He was a Blue. I don't know what I'm doing other than trying to just tell you that it's okay to congratulate the enemy.
What is a Blue?
I don't know. I mean, come on. It's a good point. What is a Blue? St. Louis Blues.
Like the Blues.
What a lame name.
Yeah, the plural, it's like, okay, you know, genre of music, that feeling when you're down and the skies are gray. I get that. But one, what's a Blue?
I think we all need to cool down. Let's go on break and then.
Are you saying that we're late for a break, Vivian? We got to keep us. All right, hang on here. We're going to continue. Just hang in there, Rusty and Barry and Pamela and Judy and you. This is very important for this radio station that we're gonna sit here and congratulate St. Louis. It's gonna be the only time we do this. So just hang on real quick here as we pay the bills.
Number one, but Budweiser beer, the king is second to none. Just say Budweiser.
See what we're doing for you, St. Louis? We got the Clydesdales running through WGN Radio.
Your glass, let's hear the call. Budweiser beer's the one that's leading the rest.
There you go, Blues fans.
Aging makes it beer at its best.
Cardinals fans.
One taste will tell you.
Rams fans.
There's only one Budweiser beer. There's only one Budweiser.
Yeah, I know you lost your football team. That sucks. But, you know, if you were a better fan, so you wouldn't have lost your football team. No, did I say that? I didn't mean that, Don Kleppen.
Might be true.
The Blues won the Stanley Cup Finals, and here we are on 720 WGN, and we are celebrating St. Louis just for a brief moment, like four more moments. Deadspin writing, the Blues did it. After a sloppy face planting in Game 6, when they tried to clinch at home, the Blues bounced back. They won Game 7, 4-1 over the Bruins. The Blues. The St. Louis Blues. So I'm giving an opportunity for you to call in 312-981-7200. You can congratulate St. Louis. Just get it off your chest. Be above the fray and say to St. Louis, you know, way to go. Barry's in Kentucky, which seems like that's kind of cheating, but go ahead, Barry. What's up? What's on your mind?
Maybe okay. Grew up in Chicago, watched the Hawks in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite all-time Hawks announcer, Jim West.
Wow. I like it.
Yes, and congrats to St. Louis. I was always taught as a kid, as long as the team came out of your same division or conference, you give them kudos.
See, Barry, you're just a high moral fiber guy.
Cause I don't know about that.
Okay, well, if you want to walk it back, that's okay too. But I mean, like, you know, if Michigan beats Ohio State, I don't think the Buckeyes ever rooted for the Wolverines to win the Rose Bowl, right? But you're saying,
well, and I the St. Louis baseball Cardinals. Now that's pushing it a little bit.
Okay. So if hockey's like a little bit easier for you to stomach.
Yes.
Right. Okay, I got it. Hey, Barry, you're awesome. Thanks for calling from Kentucky. Appreciate you.
Okay, man. Bye-bye.
Thank you. 312-981-7200. Let me just do one more here, maybe two more. Let's get two more here. Pamela, and then we'll get to our news at 10:30. What's up, Pamela? You're in Joliet.
Yes, I'm out in Joliet. Just want to congratulate the Blues if it can't be the Hawks.
Aw.
You know, might as well be somebody from the area, but a shutout would have made it a little bit sweeter because I definitely don't want the Bruins to ever win, so... Yuck.
All right, so you got a little bit of a celebration that Boston didn't get it done, Pamela.
Yes.
So
it was like
the lesser of two evils, if you will. Is that what I'm hearing?
There you go. Exactly. Hawks always number one, but if they can't pull it off, don't let the Bruins take it from you. So congratulations to St. Louis. 50 years, you deserve it. Enjoy it while it lasts.
There you go. Exactly. While it lasts. Good job, Pamela. Yep. Thank you. All right, last one on this. Rusty, you want to congratulate St. Louis?
Long time, first time. My best friend from college, Ben, is from St. Louis, and he's going absolutely nuts right now. So I just want to say a big congratulations to him. He's been a diehard Blues fan since day one, and I love you, Ben. You're the best, and you deserve it.
Rusty, that's adorable. Look at you looking out for your guy, Ben. That was the exact call that I was looking for tonight, Rusty. Thanks so much, man.
You're welcome.
All right. Way to go, Ben. Wait, you just celebrate, Ben. Take it in. Your life just got about 10% better for, I don't know, next 3 or 4 days. But it actually, when you've never won and you finally win, it does feel like it's actually a monkey off your back that you never have to carry that around anymore. I know Cubs fans can relate to that feeling. Somehow, someway, 2016 happened. All right. I lied. We got to take quick time out, catch up on the
news.
Catch up on the break. Right. And then we'll get to news in 2 minutes, 720 WGN. City of Chicago's coming after me. We'll talk about that after the 10:30 news.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? When they come for you, bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
All right, 10:40. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. My name is Mark Carmen. I'm in for Patty tonight. Be with you till 1. Hope you had a great day. Don Clevin, did you hear me last night when I was talking about this tickets situation?
No, Mark, I missed it.
Okay, so... Well, I'm going to play a snippet of this. But here, the bottom line is that the city of Chicago, I'm trying to give the city credit here. So I was reading today about how we're going to need more money, and we're all going to have more taxes, and we're broke as per usual. But the city of Chicago is doing their best, man. They really are. And so this was last night on the program. For you, the city of Chicago, so proud to be standing here in the Streeterville neighborhood talking to you tonight in this amazing city. I know the property taxes are completely out of control. I know that the lake looks like it's going to fly over Lakeshore Drive. We might be underwater by the end of the summer. I know that's going on. I know that we have real terrible things going on in the city as well. And the city isn't perfect. But it's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how much you get back up. And the city of Chicago is getting back up. Now let me explain. I got something in the mail here. Dear Mark Carmen, the city of Chicago has hired our law firm to represent it in the collection and disposition of the unpaid parking citation referenced below. Citation number 905-226-7662. Now this citation, the offense date, August 21st. Which is coming up here, not last year, 2001. August 21st, 2001. That is 18 years ago. 18 years ago. Yours truly, in a license plate at the time, HPG645, which I haven't had that license plate for, I don't know, 17 years, was parked at 1802 West School in the Roscoe Village neighborhood, and apparently there was street cleaning that day, or a special event, one of the two, I'm going to guess it was street cleaning, and my car was parked on the wrong side of the street. Okay, so that gets you caught up, so that's what I said last night, okay? Don, do you believe in karma? How do you feel about karma?
Boy, I didn't up until about 5 minutes ago. Gosh, 2001? How did they figure that out?
They're incredible. I give them credit. Like, look, man, you guys, you can't do anything. We sold out the parking. We sold off the tollways. We sold off the parking. Again, you know, we're probably going to be underwater here. Property taxes are going to the moon. But, hey, they know it. That in 2001, I parked on the wrong side of the street.
Wow.
Don't really know if there was any placards put up that day. I'm guessing that there probably wasn't. I'm a very responsible citizen, but they're coming after me.
Turn it over to collections, yeah. or representatives?
Oh, yeah, no. It's turned over to collections. Well, here you go. I got Lindberger, Goggin, Blair, and Sampson, LLP, is coming after me.
Big time.
Yeah. Great last names.
Yeah, no, they're the whole law firm. They're sending four of them after me. But probably going to get a call from Lindberger tomorrow, and then Goggin's going to call me on Saturday, and then Blair will be on Tuesday, and...
Start being texted.
So, you know, and we took calls last night on this. People were calling up. They have the same situation. Where like, yeah, I got one from 96 and I've got one. So the city's just, they, you cannot get away from this city. They will find you. They will hunt you down. If you move to Mexico, they're you're still going to get a notice somehow, some way. So anyway, that happened yesterday. I come home today. Here comes the karma. I am holding up Vivian, who's producing the show tonight. Vivian Lanoue, what do I have in my hand here, Vivian?
Oh my goodness. Pictures.
I've got two
tickets.
Two parking tickets.
Oh my God.
In my hand from the city of Chicago, notice of violation.
Ugh.
And so listen to what the city wants. I need help here. I need a lawyer. So These are these came in the mail today.
I see pictures on those things too.
Yeah,
that's
no,
what I saw too.
Oh no, no, they're absolutely correct. This is my vehicle. And I will admit there is one spot outside of WGN Radio that's not where you can, where you, it's not for turkey and it's not for trucks. There's one parking spot that actually you can pay the inflated, overrated parking spot of $6.50 for an hour. And so, and you know, my theory is that this, since it's this one rogue spot, I have been of the belief that nobody's actually walking around and giving tickets, because if you're going to walk over there, it's just a bad use of ticket maintenance time. You got a long way to go to check and see if that one car over there is has actually paid.
Maybe they've got somebody in like the Radisson Hotel next door just posted up on retainer.
I guess.
Always looking at that spot.
And so listen, I've been parking in this spot often, and I've gotten away with it often. But last night, talking about 2001... and I come home to these two. Now
they
listen.
Probably heard you on the radio.
I mean, this is amazing. The city of Chicago is incredible. Now, here's where I got my beef, and maybe people can help me out here. Let me explain. Location, date, and time: 303 North Columbus, 1455. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. That's 2:55 in the afternoon, is it not?
You got it.
Yep.
Okay, I got a ticket at 2:55, expired meter. $65. Thank you very much.
Oof.
All right. That's at 2:55. On, and again, the date, 5/15/19. All right. May 15th. Now, second ticket, 5/15/19.
Whoa.
Same location, 17:25.
5:25?
5:25.
Less than 3 hours later.
So less than 3 hours later.
During the same radio show.
During the same fill-in for the Rokon show doing sports for Kevin Powell, which this is a losing day for me here.
Man, that is ruthless. That means that they doubled up.
Wow.
They doubled down and ticketed me twice in 2.5 hours.
Wow.
2.5 hours.
Someone stuck a new ticket over the one that was already posted on your vehicle.
Yes, in a 2.5 hour time span. Now, I got to hand it to you, Chicago. You are the most broke-ass, pathetic, beautiful, relentless city I've ever lived in. I mean, to give me two tickets, is that legal? Is it a ticket for $65? Doesn't that like garner you at least 4 hours? Am I wrong here?
Listen, if a parking ticket from 2001 isn't beyond the statute of limitations, then doubling up on two, I think they're making up the rules right now, man.
Right. This is what is this? The Wild West? 312-981-7200. Is there a lawyer out there? If I can test this, and say, hey, man. I mean, come on. 2.5 hours later, what kind of, isn't there a grace period in the city? How do you treat your citizens like that? And I know this is all private parking because we don't own the parking anymore, because we sold off the parking because Mayor Daley needed money, and then we blew through the money in 5 minutes as he hooked up all his friends, and yep. Now we're all gonna have our taxes for, if you own a place, in the south of the south of the south, you're going to be paying $10,000 a year to live there in about 5 years. But regardless of that, and I love the city. I do. And 312-981-7200. I don't know if anybody's got any advice on this, but just doesn't it seem wrong? Doesn't this seem off?
Gets the ire up. It really does.
They can't do this to me, Don.
It's horrible. It's ruthless. And what are you left to do? Nothing.
Open up the wallet. That's about it. All right. Well, I just thought that. So I just think there's some level of karma going on here. I go on the air last night, have a little fun with Lindberger, Samson, and whatever, and I come home, and there's two tickets for me.
I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
Some cop from St. Louis is on his way up here. Right now, about to slap
trying
a ticket
to hunt
on
me down, man.
We're gonna cool off, Mark. Let's
cool off. Let's take a little quick time out. Actually, we're gonna do something really, really nice coming back here. That's there's one fan, as we wrap up the St. Louis portion of the show, who was in the building tonight in Boston. that saw the Blues win the Cup, and it's the sweetest thing ever. I'll explain that next, 720 WGN. Coming up after 11 o'clock, we're going to have a gentleman by the name of Ethan Blumenthal in the studio. He crashed a wedding along with his roommate, who was a female. And they went for appetizers, they had dinner, they had dessert, they took pictures. It's a pretty, it's a fun story. So Ethan will be in studio after 11 o'clock. You know, sports is the candy store of life. We kind of make it a little bit more important than it actually is, right? We root for our teams, we think it's so important, and then maybe even your team wins, and then you realize that, like, 3 days later that, my life's not really that different at all. That was fun, right? Right?
Compare athletes that from different generations that never would have played each other.
Right, we talk about it all the time. I mean, and I love it. I, you know, I'm a sports guy. I'm sure everybody knows that if you've been listening to the station at all. And I love doing the White Sox post-game show when I get to do it, and the Bears post-game show, and covering, and going to games, and playing sports. I love, 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 love sports. But I also try to have the perspective that it's just fun, and it's the toy department. But there's moments like where sports can do things that just a movie or the news or school, they don't do. Only sport could bring that out. And there's an 11-year-old by the name of Layla Anderson. And she has a life-threatening immune disease. And her, you know, face is all puffed up. She's on all sorts of medicine. And she's a huge St. Louis Blues fan. So there's a video that came out yesterday, and I got the audio for you, with her mom and Layla.
All right, if you could watch the game anywhere in the world tomorrow, anywhere in the world, where would you watch your boys play Game 7? Boston. Boston. What if I told you the Blues called and they want you at the game? What? How? Doctor said it's okay.
No, he didn't. Mommy, no, he didn't. Oh, my God. I'm going to Boston. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I love you too.
So it's incredible, right? Here's a 11-year-old kid fighting for her life. She loves the Blues. Her mom, the story goes viral. The Blues fall in love with this kid. The Blues players fall in love with her, and she gets to go to Boston. They win the Stanley Cup tonight, and there's videos going around of Layla is on the ice. She's not holding the cup herself. The cup weighs, I don't know, 100 pounds. But the Blues players are holding it, and she's kissing the cup, and she's out there with them.
Oh, that's so awesome.
That's just so awesome, right?
Yeah.
That's when, like you said, Carm, sports are, you know, they're not everything, but then there are moments when they can elevate themselves to be so much more, and that's one of them.
Yeah, it's just so beautiful. And that's a moment that she will never forget, clearly. Her parents will never forget. St. Louis fans will never forget. And prayers up that Layla gets super healthy and gets well past this and has sees the Blues win a zillion more times. Or sees them lose a zillion more times. You get the point. But right. Just congratulations again to St. Louis and the Blues. And that story was the best thing that I've seen that has come out of the Stanley Cup. Layla Anderson, you are awesome. And that was just what a beautiful night for you and your family. Quick timeout. We'll get into news on 720 WGN.
You know you make me want to shout. Keep my heels up and shout. Throw my hands up and shout. Throw my head back and shout. Come on.
720 WGN, the 11 o'clock hour. My name is Mark Carmen, and for Patty tonight, Vivian Lanou is producing. It's kind of history right now on WGN. I don't know, Vivian, have you ever been married?
No, I've never been married.
Have you ever been to a wedding?
Of course, I'm Greek. We go to like 30 million weddings a year.
Do you know everybody at the weddings that you go to?
The majority of them, actually, yeah.
Right. Well, we got a gentleman in studio right now. New friend of mine, new to the crew, Ethan Blumenthal. Welcome.
Thanks, Conor, for having me on. Always a pleasure.
It's most definitely my pleasure. So you, what do you do for a living again?
What do I do?
We need a little background before we get into how you crashed a wedding.
Sure, yeah. Well, for a living, I run an improv comedy business called Knuckleball Comedy.
Okay.
We teach, we perform improv, we do staff training, all sorts of things. So you could say I do improv for a living.
So, right.
That's what I would say, yeah.
So you've got a foundation.
I do.
That allowed you perhaps to even consider crashing a wedding.
Yeah, I would say that.
And this was a dream of yours, is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think anyone who's ever seen the movie Wedding Crashers,
right.
Clearly our producer
I love
has
that movie.
Here. Yes, I know. That's what we played, a little shout there,
yes.
Which I loved. Loved it. Got that reference for sure. Thank you so much. Just
you
walked in
it.
Here. It's like they already know me. So you know, love that movie. Saw it for the first time. I remember saw it with my family in theaters. Amazing movie. It's a classic one with my friends. And, you know, they make it look like so easy. Everything about it so easy. I mean, they're giving toast. They're cutting the cake. I figured maybe you can't do all that. But I figure, you know what? Give it a try and see what happens.
So now, okay, this happened fairly recently. What, like
yeah,
two Saturdays ago?
Two
Saturdays ago. So you're sitting around. It's a Saturday, and you did this with your roommate. Is that right?
I did. I did it with one of my roommates. Her name is Shira.
Shira.
Yeah. And we were sitting around a Saturday about 5 p.m. I said, hey, what do you, you know, I had another roommate there. Jack was there as well. And we're sitting around. I said, what do you guys want to do tonight? You know, we didn't have any plans. And then immediately it came to my head. I said, we should crash a wedding. And Jack was not down. Shira said, I'm down. And I said, are you serious? And she said, I'm serious. And I said, are we seriously doing this? And she said, are we seriously doing this? And so we just kind of like wouldn't let each other back down. And then finally we decided we're doing it.
Okay, so okay, Jack made a wise decision, but Jack's a little weak. I mean, the crew
he might be listening right now, so sorry about that, Jack.
All right, well, hey, it's cool, Jack.
Yeah.
You got there's time in your life for you to come back strong. But so you and Shira now from that point forward, it's Saturday, it's 5:30. How do you figure out where you're going to crash this wedding, Ethan Blumenthal?
Yeah, so I figured we'd just go downtown right to the area we actually are right now. You know, Wacker area, nice bunch of nice hotels here. And I figured it's June 1st. There's got to be a wedding on a Saturday night.
So
I figured we'd just go down. Shira had a better idea, much better idea. She looked on a wedding website that she was familiar with, and she looked up some weddings, like June 1st, Wedding Chicago, and boom, she found a couple different weddings. But the one that we keyed in on was Aaron and Dan's. Congrats to Aaron and Dan. I'm going to say that a lot because it was a beautiful wedding and to a beautiful couple, and I hope they live a long, prosperous life together.
Why did you like Aaron and Dan?
Well, you know, I think their wedding website, I think it really spoke to us. It was beautiful, beautiful pictures. They looked like they were in love. They looked like a fun couple. It looked like it was going to be a fun wedding.
Hang on a second. Aaron and Dan wedding June 1?
June 1, Chicago, yeah.
June 1, Chicago. Hold on. I'm just putting it in the old search thing to see if I can find it. Oh, there it is. Aaron Doyle and that one. Okay, got it. Okay, all right, there they are.
And I think, listen, you know, the odds that one of them, someone from that wedding, is listening right now. There's some percentage chance.
Yeah.
There.
Okay. Well, you know, hey, it's in the past now. This was 11 days ago. Guest accommodations. There's photos. You're feeling uncomfortable right now. We're on the radio. I get it.
No. I'm happy. Listen, Aaron and Dan, if you happen to be listening, you know, you feel free to tweet at me at and he can pass. You can tweet at me, and I'd love to take you guys out for dinner. We'll have a good time. And we'll laugh about it.
Yeah, the ceremony was at the old St. Patrick's Church. This is okay. So it looks like a beautiful wedding.
It was.
So then what happens?
So
you find Aaron and Dan.
So we get dressed up. You know, we head down downtown. I was at the Grand Wyndham Hotel, which is like right here on like Wabash and Wacker.
Nice
hotel. So we walk in, and we have no idea what's going to happen. We walk in, and we're in the hotel for 5 seconds, and someone from the hotel says, "Excuse me, are you guys here for the wedding party?" And we said, "Hell yeah, we're here for the wedding party."
Just like that?
Just like that. It was 5 seconds. We had no idea. We saw other people. There was clearly other things going on at the hotel.
But you dressed appropriately. You looked wedding ready.
Yeah, I looked good. Yeah. We both looked good. We looked wedding appropriate. And so we'd immediately go into this back. They had to take us through like the kitchen to an elevator, and we get in the elevator, and immediately we get on there. And first thing that happens is there's another couple on there clearly going to the wedding, and they complimented my attire. So I think that was a good start. And then the guy in the elevator presses the PH button for penthouse, and I was like, hell yeah, we're going to the penthouse, baby. So it was my hope. I was hoping, like, man, I knew Aaron and Dan were going to have a classy wedding
right
in the penthouse. So we head up there, and boom, I showed you the picture. We were overlooking the Chicago River, beautiful view at the penthouse, and we're at there for the cocktail hour, and we're walking around, we're drinking, there's open bar, two open bars, we made friends with the bartenders.
Would you call it an upper class open bar? They got the Maker's Mark, they got stuff.
They had the Maker's Mark, Patron, whatever, the stuff that I can't afford to buy, that's the stuff that they had, and right. So I was taking advantage for sure. And so we get there.
By the way, text line question for you, 312-981-7200. Do you love Ethan or do you hate Ethan? Do you love him or do you hate him? Text line 312-981-7200. Clearly, I love him. Continuing on.
Yeah. So our plan here, our strategy here was that every time – so first of all, in the Uber ride there to the wedding, we decided that we had a little backstory. We were from Seattle. My name was Logan, okay? And she was Shira was Chelsea, okay?
And Logan so, and Chelsea Logan were going Chelsea. To Aaron and Dan's wedding. Yeah. Logan and Chelsea.
It felt like we just fit right in, you know? Our names don't exactly scream Irish Catholic, so we decided, you know, we'd go a little different direction, go Logan and Chelsea. And so we were going to be from Seattle, but we moved here a few years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And so our strategy was when we got there, every person we went up to, we would immediately ask them, what side of the family are you on? So we knew exactly who they were. And whatever they said, we said that we were cousins on the opposite side of the family. So if they said, oh, you know, I'm Aaron's friend, we'd say, oh, that's crazy. We're Dan's cousins. And then they would say, oh, great. We have no reason to have any idea who you are. And so we just kind of went with that. And then we're able to just kind of talk from there.
You never got mixed in a group where like, oh, these are Dan's cousins and you're Dan's cousins. Don't you guys know each other? That situation?
You know, we were pretty careful about it. And we ended up telling most people there's only one person, we'll call him three-piece suit guy. I never found out his name, but he's wearing a dope ass three-piece suit.
Okay.
Super dope three-piece suit, and he was the only one who was on Dan's side, and so we told him that we were Aaron's cousins, but then we never saw him again. So
okay.
Everyone else was like, oh, those are Dan's cousins.
Okay, yeah. So you only had one person the whole thing who that's pretty fortunate the way that worked out.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, once I saw the pictures of Aaron and Dan, we were able to kind of locate who was on whose side, you know, because I have a very good eye for those sorts of things. Well, I'm just kidding.
That would be difficult. Upper level.
Yeah.
By the way, you're getting a bunch of love this dudes on the text line right now. You're getting a lot of people loving Ethan.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
So continuing on, now you've had some drinks, appetizers.
Had some drinks. We've made a few friends. Yep. Some appetizers, some hors d'oeuvres. If Aaron and Dan are listening, a little weak on the hors d'oeuvres. There was only two options as far as I can tell.
Come on.
There was a macaroni ball, fried macaroni ball, and like some mushroom thing. They were both very good, but I just felt like I needed a few more hors d'oeuvres. Okay?
They just spent all of their money for the penthouse.
That's true. No, and the penthouse was beautiful. It took a lot of cool pictures. That was really fun.
Wait, all they had was the macaroni balls and what else?
And a mushroom like puree on like a cracker. It was good, and it was a little like goat cheese on the top.
Yeah,
it was good.
I mean, come on, you're going penthouse at the window. We need more than a macaroni ball and a mushroom.
That's what I was screaming. I was screaming about it.
It's a minimum four appetizers, if not five. I mean, come on now.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly what I said. 4 to 5 appetizers. I didn't want to say anything to them right there, you know, because I wanted them to enjoy the wedding. But you know,
right.
So the cocktail hour, you know, we made a couple friends. We met one friend, Patrick, you know, cousin Patrick.
He was
Aaron's cousin. You know, we were Dan's cousins. Good guy, red hair, you know, nice guy. If he's listening out there, shouts out to you, Patrick. We appreciate you. And so after a while, we're walking around, we're drinking, hanging out, taking pictures, and then it's time to go downstairs for dinner where all the tables were set up and everything. So this was obviously, we were a little bit nervous for this part because
where are you going to see it?
Right.
Who doesn't come to a wedding?
Right.
I mean, I would have punted, just for the record, at that point. There's no way. I would have been so proud of myself that I got through the hors d'oeuvres and had some drinks. This is a win. I would have been pumping the fist leaving. You proceeded on to dinner.
That's the difference between me and you, Carm. I'm a world-class champion, and you punt. And
right.
By the way, I'm always big on going for it on fourth down, okay? So you want to punt, I'm going to go for it 10 times out of 10.
I mean, I got to own who I am. Yeah. You definitely went for the – I would have said settled for third place here. You want to win the whole thing. Good for you.
The whole thing. So we get in the elevator, and so this was our first little trip up here. We'd been doing really great the whole time. So first we get in one elevator, and we're about to go down, and then all of a sudden the caterer comes in, and she says, wait, hold this elevator, because we want the bride's parents to come on this elevator too. And we're like, whoa. We actually have to go to the bathroom. You guys can take this. So we just ran out of the elevator, you know, because we didn't want to be there with the bride's parents. We thought that could have been a weird situation.
Good choice. Yeah. You don't need the bride's parents on an elevator.
Exactly. So then we get on a different elevator, and we're there with an older couple, probably in their 60s. And this was our first trip up. So they immediately asked us who we were, and, you know, we said, we stuck with our story. We were Dan's cousins. And then they said, oh, the LaGrange cousins. And Chelsea, who was doing a great job the whole night, Chelsea said, yeah, we're the LaGrange cousins. And she is not from here, so she didn't really know that LaGrange was a suburb of Chicago. I did. And so then the guy said, oh, so did you guys go to LT? And I immediately thought, you know, knew what he meant. Like, LT must be the high school in LaGrange.
Lyons Township,
which I later looked up and I realized what he was talking about. But at the time, I was like, I don't really know. So he said, do you guys go to Lyons Township? And Chelsea said no. And then he said, well, if you didn't go to LT, then where'd you go?
Uh-oh.
And then Chelsea looks at me like, dude, you better come up with this. And so I looked at him and I said, where did we go? and he says, if you didn't go to LT, where'd you go? And I was like, to high school? And he's like, yeah, if you don't go to LT, where'd you go? And then I paused for a moment, and I thought to myself, and, you know, all my hopes and dreams were running through my head, because I thought maybe I was going to be, you know, handcuffed out of here.
Concealed carry is about to happen.
Exactly. And I looked over at Chelsea, and I said, Chelsea, what are you talking about? We did go to LT. What are you, crazy? And then the guy said, well, I went to LT. And I said, oh, yeah, I think we graduated in the same class. I think I sat behind you in math. And then everyone laughed, and then, you know, everyone got over it. And whatever tension was in there, yeah, that's exactly how he laughed. That's exactly how all 60-year-olds laughed. And so all the tension, whatever was there, was gone. So we get downstairs. Everyone's milling in, you know, filling in the tables and everything, sitting down. And we obviously didn't have a place card.
Okay, let's pause. Yeah, right at absolutely. You not having a place card, sure. About to have dinner, one of the greatest teases in radio history. We are mid-wedding crash, about to eat. Let's take a quick time out and continue with Ethan Blumenthal, the Wedding Crasher, and to you, Aaron and Dan, on 720 WGN. All right. We're mid-wedding. Dinner's about to be served. We got a Wedding Crasher in the studio. Ethan Blumenthal's here. We went to Aaron and Dan's wedding. My name is Mark Carmen, sitting in for Patty tonight. Vivian Leneau producing. Hope you had a great day, 720 WGN. Okay, so you made it through the appetizers. You made it through a scary, harrowing elevator ride, which you were almost with the bride's family?
Yeah, there was, whatever.
Okay, so now you got to figure out dinner. So what's going on?
So we get down there, and obviously, you know, we didn't have our place cards because we forgot to RSVP
right
in time for the wedding.
Right.
So it was a last-minute decision that we were going to make it in town from Seattle.
Of course.
So we get there, and, right, we thought a little bit, maybe we'll just go to another bar, we'll go to another hotel, maybe we'll find a different wedding, we'll go wedding hopping. But then I said, you know, I think this might just be meant to be. So we listened to the first speech, I think it was like Grandpa's speech or something, from outside the where all everyone was sitting down.
He had a little tears for Grandpa.
Yeah. So, and I think it was a beautiful speech. As I recall, there was a couple well-timed jokes and a beautiful speech overall. So then, you know, Chelsea's kind of waiting back in this conference room, and I kind of go in and I peek my head in, and I see our cousin Patrick with the red hair we had met before, Aaron's cousin, and I see him sitting there, and he's got three empty seats next to him. And at this point, there's already been one speech that's been made, and I'm like, it's 10, 15 minutes into the people sitting down. I'm like, you know what? If they're not sitting there yet, they're not coming, right? Those people aren't coming. So I went to Chelsea and I said, Chelsea, we're doing it. Now's the time. It's meant to be. Patrick's there. He knows us. We'll go. We'll sit down there, and let's just do it. So we just walk in there. You know, there's 200 people sitting at the table, and we just boldly walk in there like 15 minutes late, and we sit down next to Patrick. We're like, hey, Patrick, what's up, man? He was like, hey, Logan and Chelsea, what's going on, guys? And so we're sitting there, you know, and everything's cool. We listen to the best man speech. We learn a little bit about Aaron and Dan.
You have instant cred because Patrick knows you.
Exactly.
The other people think you're...
Exactly.
Right. That's huge.
It's huge. And because we knew that Patrick was on Aaron's side of the family. We kind of figured, hopefully, that everyone there was going to be on Aaron's side of the family.
And you're on Dan's side.
And we're on Dan's side, you know? And so we get there, we sit down, and the best man gives a speech. We find out, you know, the best man, you know, makes a couple jokes. We laugh, ha ha, classic Aaron that she did that thing. Classic Dan, he did that other thing. Man, that's so classic Aaron and Dan. And everyone's laughing, and we're like, yeah, God, I love Aaron and Dan. So then we're sitting there. And you know, speeches are done, and then we have another little scary moment when the caterer comes over.
Uh-oh.
And she comes over and she says, you know, do you guys have your cards? What did you order?
Chicken.
And so Chelsea immediately says, we ordered a chicken and a veggie. And the caterer's face just drops in half, like something terrible happened, you know. And she says, there is no vegetarian meals here. No one here ordered a vegetarian meal. There are no vegetarian options.
Was she angry?
So she was like, she was scared. She was like, this is insane because no one did this. And so I'm like, in my head, how is this possible that at a wedding with 200 people, you'd have not one vegetarian there?
At the Wyndham? Come on.
I mean, it's just crazy, right? It's 2019, you know? It's 2019.
Two chickens.
Sure, are you sure, right? It wasn't a Greek wedding?
Listen, and so there's, it's a... So there's no vegetarian option. And so then, you know, Chelsea quickly goes back and says, actually, you know, I think it was two chickens. And then the caterer's like, are you sure? Because everything's exact. And we're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's two chickens. So the caterer said, okay. And then eventually we get the chicken a little bit later on. So first of all, so then the salad comes. And at this point, we're kind of, you know, talking with the people at our table. And so, you know, we're with Patrick. We know him pretty well. Other people at the table, they're like, who are you guys? And we're like, hey, we're Logan and Chelsea. And at this point, they were like, oh, so are you, because they were all on Aaron's side of the family. They were like, why are you guys here if you're on Dan's side? And then we were like, oh, you know, I think we lost our place card. And so we just kind of sat here, you know, sorry, guys. You know, you guys, you're on Aaron's side, we're on Dan's side. And they're like, oh, it's okay. We're having fun at a wedding. Who cares, right? And I was like, yeah, right. Who cares? So that was cool.
Wow.
Yeah. So we, you know, they weren't.
Well,
no
one
was.
Who's going to call you out there like, you guys don't belong here?
Right.
So, but there is that one person who would go, I don't, do you know him? Do you know him? Right. And then you really got to get out of there. But that did not happen.
No,
apparently.
It did happen. So we were cool. And like I said, you know, we knew Patrick. And Patrick was like, oh, yeah, this is Logan and Chelsea. You know, because like he knew us from the 10 minutes that we had spoken to him at the cocktail hour. So it was all, it's a long con, Carm. You know, you gotta be there for the long haul.
I got it.
So
House of Games, one of my favorite movies.
So I've never seen it. So you must have just dated yourself a little bit.
I did badly. But somebody out there, the House. Yeah. All right, continue on the long con.
So because we wanted to make sure we knew a few people, so that's why we knew Cousin Patrick was going to come back to us, and he was going to be great that we made that friendship early on in our situation. So first of all, the salad comes out, and listen, again, I don't mean to be mean, Aaron and Dan. Again, you had a fantastic wedding. I wish you were talking about the best, but the salad was underdressed. Okay?
Oh, come on.
The salad was underdressed.
Come on, Ethan.
No, listen, I'm sorry. It was a good salad, but it was underdressed. I saw everyone at the table, and they like had half of the salad left on their plate, and it was just lettuce, and there was no dressing. So listen, if they could go back in time, I would just put a little bit more dressing and have like 3 to 4 more hors d'oeuvres, and then it's a perfect wedding. Okay, all right.
Hey, listen, this is fair game. This
fair
is
game. Listen,
honest criticism. You want to do it better next time? Yeah. It might not be a wedding, but you know, perhaps a bar mitzvah. Who knows?
What's going to Who knows? So then we're hanging out, right? And then, you know, the chicken comes. Okay, the chicken comes. And I was excited for it. It looked delicious. And it was. So the chicken comes. And as soon as the chicken comes, we see the bride and the groom start making their rounds. You know, going from table to table to check out, you know, to make friends with all the people that came to their wedding. So the bride starts coming over to our table. And Chelsea immediately says, freaks out. And she says, I'm getting out of here. I can't be here for this. And I was like, listen, okay. The bride's over there. I'm Dan's cousin. She doesn't know who I am anyways, right? And I knew that if I got up at that point, they were going to take away my chicken, okay? And I was really hungry. So I did what any normal human would do. And I put my head down and I started cutting that chicken. I started eating it super fast, okay? And I was eating it and it was delicious. I was soaking up with a little bread, with little juices on the side. It was really good. And I just was like, I need to get through this chicken because otherwise, you know, they're going to take it away. If I go to the bathroom, they're going to come back and it's going to be gone. And I can't have that.
You were focused on nourishment at this point.
Exactly. And Aaron is at the other side of the table. I mean, she's talking to the people on the other side of our table, and I'm just head down by myself because Chelsea's gone at this point. So I'm a loner right there, just eating my chicken as fast as I possibly can. And I'm like, I'm still cool with this. You know, I'm confident. I got so much confidence. And then Dan starts rolling over. I see him rolling over. I think he must have been in the bathroom. He starts coming over to the table, and he's got to hop in his step. And I was like, well, I can't be here when the only two people at the whole place who should know everyone there, I can't be there for that. So that's when I ate it super fast. Maybe took a little bite of Chelsea's chicken because I figured she wasn't coming back for it, and then went to the bathroom and chilled out for a second.
You actually got a piece of Chelsea's chicken too. That's amazing.
Well, you know, it's not great. And I knew I was going to go to waste otherwise. You know, I was doing it for the poor kids out there.
Who,
you know, they say, you know, you should eat that because there's starving kids in Africa or something, right? Well, those kids, I did it, you know, so that, you know, because you got to finish your food. That's what your parents said growing up.
Okay, hold on. We'll finish the story after the 11:30 right. news in 2 minutes, 720 right. WGN. I don't want to be a fool for you. Just another player in your game for two. WGN. We're getting to the end of the wedding now. Ethan Blumenthal has had Logan. And your roommate, Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
You guys aren't dating?
No.
You and Logan and Chelsea, no?
Logan and Chelsea are dating, but Ethan and Cher are not.
But Logan, okay. But Logan and Chelsea were.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, we came in, actually, the idea was that we were brother and sister, but people just kind of assumed we were dating, so okay. We just kind of went with that.
Okay, good move. I think that's that's better.
Yeah.
Okay, so you bolted out as the bride and groom came over to the table.
Right.
We're talking to a real-life wedding crash that happened a couple weekends ago here. Ethan's in studio.
Mm-hmm.
You made it through the appetizers. You ate your chicken. You left for the bathroom. Now what happens?
So then we come back in, finish a little bit more food. They cut the cake. It's beautiful. And then the caterer comes over to our table again, and she says, "Hey guys, we're trying to get everyone to go back upstairs to the same room we had the cocktails in for dancing and for drinks. Do you guys want to be? You guys should be trendsetters. Go up there and start the party up there." And we were like, "Hell yeah, we'll go up there. We're done with this." And as soon as we get up there, then we know we're just in the free and clear.
You did it
right. I mean, it's dark. The lights dim a little bit. The drinks start flowing. Everyone's having a good time, and that's when we really had a good time and started making friends. So the people at our table. We had cousin Brittany, okay, and her husband Matt, all right? Brittany and Matt. They became our best friends at the wedding, I would say. So we get up there, and immediately they're taking a tequila shot, and we were like, "Guys, you guys can't take this tequila shot without us." And they're like, "Oh, Logan and Chelsea, of course, yeah, take the tequila shot with us." So we do a shot with them, and then all of a sudden we're talking with them, and then the story just gets wild from there, because then they say that me and Chelsea have been dating for years now, at one point I look over, or they say, so, "Logan, how long have you guys been dating?" And I look at Chelsea and I said, "How long has it been, babe? What, like two, three years?" And she says, "See, he doesn't even know how long we've been dating for." And I'm like, "Okay, easy there, Chelsea." And so then we had this whole thing. Then Brittany brings her father-in-law Ray over here, and they're like, "Hey guys, this is our cousins Logan and Chelsea." And everyone's so excited to meet us. Ray is over there, and we're high-fiving, we're hugging, and then Ray's over there, and he's calling people over. He's calling Aunt Nancy over there, and he's like, Nancy, come over here. You got to meet our cousins Logan and Chelsea." And so then we get Aunt Betty over here. And Aunt Betty was a character for sure. And she was like, "I came over to your guys' table, but you guys weren't there and everyone's talking. Logan and Chelsea, I didn't see you guys. And it's so great to meet you. I didn't realize that we were cousins." And I said, "Yeah, we've heard so much about you. It's been great." And so then we're talking with them for a while. And the best part about the whole night is that Aunt Betty invited us over for Christmas dinner.
Oh, my God, Aunt Betty.
Oh, no.
So we got invited over. She apparently everyone said it, that Aunt Betty makes a mean beef tenderloin.
Oh, really?
And it makes a mean beef tenderloin. So
you're just all about the food.
I am about the food. I get I get a couple of whiskey drinks in me, and I'm just, I get a little, get the drunchies, and I get a little.
Did you get numbers from Aunt Betty?
So I didn't get Aunt Betty's. I did get cousin Brittany's number.
Okay.
And now cousin Brittany's happily married to Matt, so I'm not trying to. She gave me your number because I had taken some pictures on my phone, and she's like, "Send me those pictures, Logan. I really want them." And so I did text her, so she actually has my number, which is another way that the only way that I really could get caught here, besides if anyone's listening to
on the radio
and in our podcast.
Right. So hold on a second. My favorite thing of the whole. It's the end of the wedding. Mm-hmm. How many people are left?
At
10.
The very end of the wedding.
Very end of the wedding. How many people are left? Well, everyone's going home except for you guys.
Yeah, everyone's going home, and so at this point, my jacket's come off. Right, I'm down. I'm four buttons down the shirt. Right? On the pictures, you
sweating.
Can't even tell. Sweating profusely because I'm just tearing up the dance floor. We get into the end where everyone circles up because we're getting to the real party animals, and that was me. And I jumped into the middle, just doing my thing. If I could have break, I felt like I was break dancing. I can't break dance, but I felt like I was. And everyone's like, "Woo, that guy's awesome!" Yeah.
Were you? Is this performance mode, or were you actually having that much fun?
Oh, I was having a great time.
You're having a great time.
We felt so much love from all of our newfound family. We got invited over for Christmas dinner. We were so looking forward to going to Christmas dinner and saying, "Hey guys, listen, by the way, we crashed the wedding. And
we love your family.
We love your family, and we're Jewish. And this is the first time we've ever had Christmas dinner, the both of us. And we really appreciate it, though, and we love it. And Aunt Betty, the beef tenderloin, it is as good as everyone says it is.
Well, maybe it'll all come full circle now. Somebody might reach out to you.
Well, I'm hoping that we put this out on the WGN 720 airwaves, and maybe someone's listening out there, and they want to text us in.
Yeah,
you can tweet at
Aaron
us,
and Dan. Know. I don't know if you really want this, but it might happen.
Hey, you know, if we invite to Christmas dinner, we will be there. I speak for Chelsea on that one. If we get invited, we will be there.
So in wrapping up here, because I know you have a very busy life over here and you need to get to bed all day.
Yeah.
Would you recommend this to people to try to duplicate what you did?
So I just want to say two more quick details about
that. Yeah.
So first of all, Brittany told Chelsea, she said, Chelsea, you can come over to Christmas dinner either with a ring on your finger or a new boyfriend.
Ooh.
So that was shots fired at Logan for sure.
Wow.
And then when Chelsea went to the bathroom, I told, because they were so excited, but I told Brittany that I had the ring and I was going to propose to her next weekend.
Oh, wow.
And they really excited her. So they really excited her. So at the end of the wedding, my goal was really to take a picture with the bride and groom, and which I did. I showed you that picture, right?
Yeah.
So I took a picture. I'm just cheesing at the end. It was me, Chelsea, Brittany, her husband Matt, and then Aaron and Dan, and we're just all cheesing, having a great time. And this was Lights Are Up after the last song, because we tore it down. We closed it down. We were there early and we left late. We closed the whole thing down, and it was a fantastic time. And Aaron and Dan had zero thoughts at that point. They were just
those two
guys were having fun. I don't know exactly who they were, but they're having a good time.
It's an incredible accomplishment. 312-981-7200. Do you love Ethan? Do you want to be Ethan? Or you just think that, like, Ethan, I can't believe this guy just crashed a wedding. That's a terrible thing to do. It could happen to my daughter.
And I will say, to answer your question, Carm, I feel absolutely no guilt.
Right.
Good. Because I know that we only made the wedding more fun, and nothing bad happened there. Aaron and Dan, they will find out, because we were in the professional photographer photos for sure. At the end, the videographer, as we were just ripping up the dance floor, tearing it to shreds, the videographer was basically doing a documentary about me and Chelsea dancing. So this all going to be all over their video when they watch it. And we even took pictures in their photo booth. We took out the photo and you put it in their scrapbook, and we wrote there, you know, it was so great celebrating your love your cousins
Logan
and Chelsea.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
Honestly, congratulations.
I've
never met anybody who's ever done this. This was worthy of this radio time. You deserve everything, all the accolades that you're getting from has Time Out Chicago called you? Are they still in business? Whatever. The Tribune should be calling.
I'm available.
It's a tremendous job by you.
Appreciate it.
Good to see you, Ethan.
Always a pleasure.
Congratulations. You're awesome.
All right. Congrats to Aaron and Dan.
And Aaron and Dan, of course. Yeah. Quick time out. Coming on back here, I've got a story that it's on my heart. Well, we'll talk about that coming back. Congratulations to Ethan and Aaron and Dan. Aaron and Dan, right. 720 WGN. All right, Logan and Chelsea. Way to go. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
I would not possess the you-know-whats to do that. And I would like to do something like that, just to have the story. Ethan's a funny dude. All right, welcome back in here, 720 WGN. Mark Harmon with you. All right, team. Yeah, I don't know, speaking of things that I would do, but maybe shouldn't do, I'm not afraid of heights. I enjoy a nice trip on the old, I haven't been to the Hancock in a long time. I haven't been to the Sears, now Willis Tower, in a long time. I guess we did, what do we do? We did the walk up on the air climb. I don't know, have you ever done that, Vivian?
I have not.
Okay, so we do the air climb. I think that's the last time that I've been up there. And then maybe I had some friends in from out of town. Doesn't matter. But so this was the story. The protective coating on the popular attraction, The Ledge, cracked on Monday at the Willis Tower. The thing that you stand on 104 floors above cracked. How is that possible? Things in life that could never happen. And I know that they said that it wasn't possible that that anybody was in actual real danger. Are you kidding me? Can you imagine being on that thing as it starts to crack? Oh, there's another layer below it. You're good. And now people are willingly going back to the Willis Tower, and they're going to stand out there and like, oh, no, I'm all good. yeah, there's like, there's 20 people on here. No, but really, it's supported. I that's amazing to me. Protective coating, which acts like a screen protector for the ledge, experienced some minor cracking. This is according to Willis Tower spokesperson Terry Cornelius. No one was ever in danger, and the ledge was immediately closed. We replaced the coating Monday night, and ledge was open for business as usual yesterday.
I like how they say minor crack, because if you look at it, it looks like the entire glass
it looks like it shattered.
Yeah.
Like, minor crack.
It's not a minor crack, everybody.
The ledge, a glass viewing box on top of Willis Tower, 233 South Wacker Drive. It extends a little more than 4 feet out from the skyscraper, 1,350 feet above the ground. And the thing is, you know what bothers me the most about this? If you go up there and you're with a group and you don't walk out onto that thing, you are considered the softest, pathetic loser. It's like, you know what? I'm good. But this reminds me, and this can be. I'm talking to myself here, and I'm talking to you. There's this thing. If we go a little deeper, there's the external locus of control and internal locus of control. If you care what everybody thinks out there, that's external. I care what Vivian thinks. I care what Ethan thinks. I care what Adam Phillips thinks. Anyone around WGN right now or who's listening, I care what everyone thinks, and I'm going to try to act to make you happy. Versus if it's internal, I'm going to do whatever I think is right for me. These are my values, and my value is to not walk out onto that thing. It is not worth whatever entertainment, whatever thrill-seeking moment I get to stand out there and look straight down. Just because I'm proving to myself that I have the guts to do it. I walked out there. It's crazy to me. And then here's the quote. A similar incident appeared to have happened once before. For a few frantic seconds, Alejandro Garibay thought the only thing between him and the street 103 stories below was a pane of glass that was rapidly cracking as he sat in the clear box jutting out of the Willis Tower. This was May in 2014. Willis Tower physicist said Garibay was never in any danger. Only a 6 millimeter thick protective coating cracked. So this has happened before. This dude, I don't care if he was in danger or wasn't in danger. Nothing can crack. No coatings. That just can't happen.
It's just scary. It's just scary looking.
I just don't get it. Like, I would like, if anybody can explain it to me, 312-981-7200, what is the upside of walking out onto that thing? Why would you do that?
The thrill. It's like adrenaline, and you get cute pictures, too.
So have you done it?
I have.
So you got a thrill doing it.
I did it once.
See, but yes. You just said you get cute pictures. People are going off onto cliffs to take Instagram photos, and they're standing and they're hanging their foot off, and they're falling and killing themselves. Like, have you seen this? It's going, now, this is not happening at the Willis Tower. I get it. No one has been injured.
Right.
But, like, we want to, like, take these cool photos.
But then again, that's what it's there for, that too. So you put Chicago out there.
You put Chicago out there.
Yeah, you advertise Chicago. Because not a lot of buildings have that.
Like, I'm not trying to live my life in a bubble and in bubble wrap.
About in a ledge? Just
right.
Kidding.
But like, I'm get in an airplane. Let's go somewhere. Hey, you want to go skiing? There's danger everywhere. Driving a car or whatever. I'm not trying to do, but like, then there's like risk reward. Skiing, totally fun. Flying somewhere cool, and now I'm in Australia. That's awesome. Standing out on the ledge of the Willis Tower so I can look down and be terrified for a moment.
Okay, here's a question for you then. Yeah. So if this never happened, would you be a fan of this or no? Like, if there was never an accident.
No, I wouldn't. But I guess what I'm angry about here, or what I'm questioning, I wouldn't call it anger. What I'm questioning is, I never really wanted to go out on that ledge, but I just did it because I felt like that was what I was supposed to do. Like, society was telling me, you're not tough unless you go out on that ledge. And then I was also the guy like, God, come on, get out here. Don't be a wimp. It's like, you know.
Did you take a nice picture?
I did. I don't know. I think I was, I feel like I was there with Patty. I'm never going out on that thing again. That's the moral of the story.
Same here. Now, after seeing this, no way.
I'm good. All right, quick time out, and we'll get you news at midnight. And then, when is it okay to celebrate? We're going to have to do this coming on back here after midnight. News coming up, 720 WGN. I'm feeling good. WGN, welcome to your Thursday. We have entered into the midnight hour. Mark Harmon in for Patty tonight. Vivian Lanou producing. Before I get to how to celebrate as an American when things are going your way, hey Vic, real fast, you just reported on the weather as you're reporting on everything. What's the date today? Is it June the 11th?
Technically, it's the 12th.
Now the 12th, right?
No. 13th.
13th.
Now.
13th.
Yep.
Vic, it's cold out, man.
Huh? What?
It's raining. It's cold. It's supposed to be summer.
I was thinking, yeah, I mean, we definitely don't have the warm temperatures, but I was just thinking on my walk in tonight, it was around 10 o'clock tonight, and I was thinking how good it felt. Had a little rain. I had an umbrella, though.
You're one of those people. Mm. See, and that's fine. And I hate people that complain about the weather and even talk about the weather on the radio. As much as I love hearing Tom Skilling, that's like what's the one thing. So, but I got to do it right now. I'm starting to be of the belief that we are not going to have like a normal summer.
I know.
Like
I
it's
know.
Not going to happen.
I know.
Like we all this time we work so hard. We fall back. It's dark at 4:30. It's freezing all winter. But we get paid. In the summertime, those 4 or 5 months, we live this dream. It's beautiful. Chicago in the summer, you can't beat it.
You can't. You cannot, except this one. This summer, you can beat it.
56 degrees, did you say? What did you say?
Yeah. Upper 50s right now.
Upper 50s,
man. In most areas.
Come on, man.
We're definitely not. And I'm with you. Chicago is hard to beat in the summer. I've been around, and this is a great city to spend your summer, but not this year so far. Yeah. Well, spring anyway.
If anybody believes that we're, you know, I'm losing a little bit of faith. That's all I'm saying. But all right, I appreciate it. It's not your fault, Vic. I can't blame the news guy and the weather guy, but I needed someone to lean on here. Vivian, you feeling the pain on this?
I am, unfortunately. I just came back from Cali, but California was actually pretty chilly too.
See, and your boyfriend lives out in California,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, George is out there.
George is out there.
Yes, he is.
Why don't you just hang out with George in Cali? There's got to be radio in California. Don't they have radio out there?
I don't think they do.
No radio. You're a Midwest girl.
That's right.
Okay. Midwest woman. You're right. I got to get rid of somebody criticized me on that. Don't say girls and boys, men and women. You're an adult. I'm working on that. All right. So I don't know if people are playing along. Last night on the show, we had Mia Hamm on, greatest women's soccer player of all time. And the U.S. women beat Thailand in the opening round of the World Cup in their group 13-0. And Alex Morgan had 5 goals, and which equals her 5 goals equaled Michelle Akers. That's the most by an American in the World Cup. It was 7-0 with 30 minutes to go, and they just kept piling it on. The biggest win in World Cup history was an 11-0 Germany over Argentina in 2007 until the U.S. women went nuts and went 13-0 over Thailand. And the U.S. women, despite their amazing performance, they are under fire because they kept celebrating after goals. 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, 11-0. And they're doing dances and they're doing slidings. They're acting like every goal was the game winner. And people don't like this. Now, there's some things that you need to know before I give you my take on celebrations in sports and how we should handle life when things are going our way. There is a rule which the number of goals scored, that's part of deciding the outcome of the tournament, okay? Goal differential counts. If you have the same record as another team, then they'll go to goal differential. So the U.S. winning a game by 13 goals helps them in the tournament, helps them in their group. So they do have a vested interest in running up the score in that way. So there's an actual reason in doing it. but that doesn't mean you celebrate every time you score, right? Not like, you know, you're playing a team in Thailand, a country in Thailand, who is not anywhere close to your level. So should you be celebrating like you're doing something that was incredibly hard for you to do and it was all on the line? 9-0, 10-0. And so the U.S. women's coach, her name is Jill Ellis, and reporters were asking her about this. If this is a 10-0 in a men's World Cup, are we getting the same question? U.S. coach Jill Ellis asked after receiving repeated questions. Yes, you are, Jill. And this is what bothers me about this story. People are making it out like the women are being picked on for celebrating. And this is somehow a gender thing. Dudes get picked on all the time if they don't do things properly on an athletic court. If you pimp a home run, was Tim Anderson of the White Sox under fire? Do we hear it all the time? If guys are doing dances for touchdowns, some people like it, some people don't. And some people love the fact that the women were celebrating like crazy. And some people, like yours truly, old man Carm here, and maybe I'm that guy, old man, get off my lawn, but I'm just like, I don't know, man. I know it's the World Cup, but you're playing Thailand. You're up 8-0. You're up 9-0. And maybe it's your first goal in World Cup history, and that's super cool. A high five and all. But like to go crazy, to me, it just seems weird and off and like not what sportsmanship is really about. Now, and then if you want to compare them to the, you can't even compare the women to the men, by the way. The men's national team has scored 12 World Cup goals in the last 6,202 days. You just scored 13 in one day. And the women deserve to get paid as much as the men, if not more than the men. But, I don't know, 312-981-7200. Am I off here? You're up 8-0. You're up 9-0. I know we got audio for this. Why are you going crazy when you know the game is over and you've won? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Two runners going forward, including Rapino, who runs on. Rapino with a goal! 9-0 U.S. Did she get another? Into the middle of Cubs. Quick shot taken. She's got four. Alex Morgan. Morgan nods it forward to Pugh. Open net. There's the 11. Her first World Cup goal. Knocked ahead. Morgan. Shot. Goal.
And this is just ridiculous. The first touch. It popped up. Right there.
Put forward. Lloyd may get one here. Connie Lloyd. She's got it.
Go, 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 go.
Final whistle. What a night. USA fans are celebrating this one. You don't see 13-0 results at a World Cup, but you saw it tonight. Alex Morgan, 5 goals. Rob, sum it all up for us. All those goals tonight.
13 big ones. You know, I'm thinking back to the Dream Team, 1992, when the basketball team decided they'd had enough. We're not going to send the college kids over there anymore. We're going to send the professionals. We're going to dial it up with Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and Charles Barkley. And we're going to take it to Bulgaria. And we're going to smoke Angola. And we're going to have a hell of a time out there. We're going to high five to the end of the... does that feel good? For me, I always wanted the college kids to go. If they lose, they lose. Now, this is different. Women's soccer, we are more advanced playing women's soccer than the rest of the world. Men's soccer were way behind. Women's soccer were way ahead. Which is one of the many reasons why the women's team is having all the success. But, you know, you're the best team in the land, man. You're playing Thailand. You're beating them in 13-0. You need to jump up and down and go nuts? Alex Morgan, 5 goals. Now, and I know that, here, the U.S. team, for the record, by the way, they're the oldest team in this year's World Cup. They got a bunch of veterans that are all in their 30s. But they also have a team that has 6 players who are making their World Cup debut. So scoring for the first time. You score for the first time in the World Cup, I get it. You're super excited. I'm not trying to demonize anybody doing that. But I guess there's just something that I'm looking for where... We're just sort of all better sports to each other. I guess what I'm asking for here. You know what? You're killing Thailand. You don't need to go crazy. And I'm not saying not to play hard. And there's also other rules where you can't empty the bench. You can only sub out three players. So you need to keep your best players are going to play. That's how it works. Which I don't understand that rule, but that's the rule. You can only sub out three players. So you still got most of your good players are all out there. They're not going to stop playing. 312-981-7200. Were you watching this? Anybody have the same reaction? Like, stop celebrating. It's wrong. Let's be classy Americans. Trucker Rich, I think you called in last night. Is this you?
Yes, sir.
What's up, Trucker Rich? Thoughts?
You know, these ladies have done something that 98 or probably almost 100% of the country can't do.
True.
Let them enjoy themselves, okay. You know? They're the best of the best, and, I mean, what would the reaction be if they scored a goal and they all just walk back kind of mopily, you know? Just with no enthusiasm, you know, what would people say about that? Would they call them arrogant?
How about just a little bit of a high five? I mean, did you see the highlights? They're running all the way across the field, sliding. Yeah, 10-0. Yeah, 11-0. I don't know.
I don't. You know, fine.
Is that
you
not...
know, let them do it?
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's their stage. You know, they earned the right to be there. You know, I mean, I think it's cool. You know, I mean, yeah, you don't want to flaunt it, but, you know, did they run over and, you know,
do it
right in the opponent's face, or was it all towards their own bench?
No, that's very true, Trucker Rich. They weren't running over to the Thailand bench and screaming at their players and saying, come get this. They were at their own bench celebrating the world. And maybe I just need to have a little bit more fun, Trucker Rich. Maybe that's the thing here. But
you see that in football sometimes. You know, one of the players will, do something and then run over to the opposing bench and point right at him and say, you know, take this, you know.
Well, and I hate it in football. Like, okay, first play of the game, 10-yard pass, completion. The receiver gets up, points first down. It's like, dude. It's the first play of the game. You just caught a pass. Get your butt back to the huddle. You don't need to celebrate that you just got a first down. We're 1 minute into a 60-minute football game. That bothers me too. But I mean,
as long as they're celebrating amongst themselves, let them have a good time. You know?
Okay.
Just don't throw it in the other team's face, you know? I mean, yeah, those ladies were better than the ladies from Thailand.
They
didn't go over and shove it in their face, you know?
Okay. All right. Thanks, Trucker Rich. Appreciate you.
Yep.
Stay safe out there.
Bye-bye.
312-981-7200. Let's see what the text line saying here. If men's soccer brings in $1 million and women's brings in $500,000, doesn't matter how many games or how much. It's okay. The pay part, the women's games are – women's soccer in this country – when the World Cup is going, they sell out, man. There's no way they should be making less money. Name me a men's soccer player. I can't think of one. But I know the name Alex Morgan. I know the name Mia Hamm. I know the name Megan Rapinoe. The women are much more popular than the men. I get the fact that there's an economic part of this. And I don't have the numbers of attendance in front of me, but I know the women do incredibly well in this country when they're playing. So that does not add up. 708 texting, and they're all pros. Should Thailand get a participation trophy? No, Thailand shouldn't get a participation trophy. I don't understand the whole why people are so hot and bothered by participation trophies, as if it like makes you less of a. We're like the society is crumbling because we're giving participation trophies.
I feel like that makes it worse.
Which one?
If you were to get a participation trophy, it's like, hey, you lost. Here's a participation trophy. Yeah. Come back next year.
Right. That's not happening on the World Cup level. Right. But if a third grader is getting off his butt and he's not playing video games and he tried hard and he competed and he got a participation trophy for you know, when I was a kid, I got third place medal. I got a third place ribbon in the Carmen free throw shooting contest. Did that make me soft because I got a third? It says third place. Participation does not say first place. Now, if everybody gets a participation trophy and there's no first place, well, okay, then I'm with you. The one who won, give me that first place, man. Give me that trophy. But if you want to, like, you know, honorable mention to a 9-year-old, I don't think that's terrible. 630 texting in. Mark, I say let them share every single time that they score. They earned it. And if they're doing it, too bad if other people can't handle it. I think you are of the overwhelming opinion on that one, 630. Celebrate away. But I'll ask you this. If it was your kid out there on the other side, and it was 10-0, and they just scored again and they went nuts, and then it's 11-0 and they go nuts, at what point does it bother you? At what point do you think it's a little bit over the top? Just a little. I get it. Celebrate 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, 7-0, 8-0. At 9-0, can't you go back to midfield and be ready for the next start, whatever they call it? 312 texting. Hey Mark, listening to you guys in Phoenix. I'm sitting in my Arizona room in my room. It's 92 degrees at 10 p.m.
Thanks. That's nice.
See, I appreciate you rubbing it in. 815 is with me. I'm with you. That's how I'm going to raise my daughter. 561 not with me. Get over it. Right, I'll do my best. Quick timeout. 720 WGN. I like that, Vivian. I like that. Playing with that music. It was a flavor for the show.
Yeah.
We started out tonight, we're talking about the St. Louis Blues, who won their first ever Stanley Cup tonight. 2010, the Chicago Blackhawks won their first cup in 49 years. 2011, the Boston Bruins won their first cup in 39 years. 2012, the LA Kings won their first cup ever. 44-year wait. 2018, last year, the Washington Capitals won their first cup ever. 43-year wait. And tonight, 2019, or last night now, the St. Louis Blues, their first cup ever, 51 years. You know, it's a weird thought that I have as we, let's go deep for one moment here, Vivian.
Let's go.
1227. The St. Louis Blues have been around for 51 years. Now, is that a long time?
It's a long time.
So you say it's a long time, but think about the history of this planet and think about the less than a drop of a speck of a dust that 51 years is. And I just think it's crazy to me that if you consider like how long humans have been here and we're finally getting to like professional sports of like this level. The basketball's been around, like the Bulls were started in 1967. Relative to the Earth, that's yesterday. It's not even yesterday, it's like a minute ago. The Blues are 51 years old, and we all talk like, he's the greatest of all time, and he's the greatest, and that guy's the greatest. If we don't ruin the planet and we're all gone in 2050, which I saw that report the other day, so we got 30 years, enjoy
that's
it.
So scary.
Isn't it?
I'll be 56.
Yeah, and okay, what's the quality of life going to be in the last however many years before that? But hopefully that won't be the case. We'll figure this out. But like, think about, you know, what sports looks like 500 years from now. Like, I don't know where these thoughts come from, but that's crazy to me. The St. Louis Blues, in the history of the world, have only been around for 51 years. The Blackhawks, I mean, professional sports has been here for 100 years? I don't know. 120 years, we got another break we got to take? Okay. Deep thoughts with Carm. It's getting late. All right. News in 2 minutes, 720 WGN. Nick D Show coming up at the top of the hour. Mark Harmon sitting in for Patty tonight. Vivian Lanoue producing. I think I just picked my nose and Vivian saw me. Did I? No. I think I did. It's an accident. This time of night, I'm used to being by myself. Anything can happen. It's an accident. He's, you know, I was thinking about something.
You're fine.
I appreciate it. Hope everyone's having a great night. So, I want to give kudos to the great Jon Stewart, who spoke to the House Judiciary Committee yesterday about the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. And a day after speaking, they unanimously passed a bill today to fund the compensation fund. Thank you. To fund the compensation fund. And to take care of the first responders, the police, the firemen who ran into buildings, who did everything they could to keep as many people alive as America was under attack. This was Jon Stewart yesterday, if you missed it.
I want to thank Mr. Collins and Mr. Nadler for putting this together, but as I sit here today, I can't help but think what an incredible metaphor this room is for the entire process that getting health care and benefits for 9/11 first responders has come to. Behind me, a filled room of 9/11 first responders, and in front of me, a nearly empty Congress. Sick and dying, they brought themselves down here to speak to no one. It's shameful. It's an embarrassment to the country, and it is a stain on this institution. And you should be ashamed of yourselves for those that aren't here, but you won't be. Because accountability doesn't appear to be something that occurs in this chamber. We don't want to be here. Lou doesn't want to be here. None of these people want to be here. But they are, and they're not here for themselves. They're here to continue fighting for what's right. Lou's going to go back for his 69th chemo. The great Ray Pfeiffer would come down here, his body riddled with cancer and pain, where he couldn't walk. And the disrespect shown to him and to the other lobbyists on this bill is utterly unacceptable. You know, I used to get, I would be so angry at the latest injustice that's done to these men and women. And, you know, another business card thrown our way. As a way of shooing us away, like children trick-or-treating, rather than the heroes that they are and will always be.
So there you go. That was from yesterday. I just wanted to play it again. It was just so amazing. And it actually had an impact, even though he was talking to basically an empty committee. That video went viral, and now we have movement. The House is going to pass it. It'll go to the Senate. Mitch McConnell speaking today. The great Mitch McConnell. Quote, gosh, I hadn't looked at that lately. I'll have to. We've always dealt with that in the past in a compassionate way, and I assume we will again. Thanks, Mitch. Really appreciate that. It's just incredible, right? If there's one thing we can do in this country, can we take care of the people who try to save lives on 9/11? Can we fund that one? Do we have? Is there enough dough to go around? Am I not paying enough in taxes? Are we not that we? I mean, I'm good with that one. You want to take another couple bucks out? Go ahead. Who wouldn't sign up for that?
Right.
Just incredible. Several members of the New York congressional delegation, including House Judiciary Committee Jerry Nadler, Representative Carolyn Maloney, both Democrats and GOP Representative Peter King have introduced the Never Forget the Heroes Act of 2019 to reauthorize the Victim Compensation Fund. Pretty amazing that we're going back and forth and around on this one. It has the support of two New York senators, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, I just don't get how this is a political thing. Right, left, conservative, liberal. I mean, come on. This is not something that we should need John Stewart to get up there and give an impassioned plea and bring all the first responders who can barely walk, who are suffering from God knows what, to have to show up at a hearing so they can get health care. I mean, he's absolutely right. It's a stain. And it's sad. It's sad, and when you can't figure out the answer to these things, it's all about you just got to follow the money and greed. All right, I want to move along because I don't want to get too heavy here at 12:42 in the morning. I got good news for you. Gas prices are going down.
I just saw that today. I did.
Right, it's so exciting.
It was great. 309. Oh, it was beautiful.
Well, it's they're going down. Good news for drivers in the U.S. Gas is going to be below $2 a gallon for most of America by the end of the year. Not here. We're not going to have that, but we'll be back in the twos. National average currently $2.72. Of course, we're paying like $3.25 in Chicago, and we're going to have another gas tax. Unless I pay all my parking tickets, then we'll just be living the dream here. But gas is going down, man. Most of the decline is because of falling oil prices, in part thanks to the booming U.S. oil production. So gas is going down. Gasoline prices have fallen fast in parts of the country, where $4 gas was the norm. That's California. The average price in California down to $3.86. So just so you know here, team, you're going to be paying less at the pump, which makes everybody happy.
Yes, I'm smiling.
Which seems like a nice way to continue to smiling with John Stewart and stepping up. And we're gonna take care of the people who were taking care of us. That is awesome and makes me feel good all over. And it's really just nice that Mitch McConnell showed his face. What a guy. Let's take care of American heroes. All right, let's do a final timeout here, and we will get you ready for Nick D. And my favorite story of the day coming on up here, 720 WGN. All right, this is my favorite story that I've seen in a little while. So I used to rent in the Roscoe Village area, 2012 West Berry. And this was like, it was a house that looked like a cabin. Like it should have been somewhere in Wisconsin. But it was right here in Chicago. And we had a family that lived on the first floor. They had the first floor and they had the basement. And they would rent out the top floor of the house. So I lived up there along with my roommate at the time. Her name was Amy. Okay. So we're living in the top floor of this house. Now in the back of the house, when I first checked out, like I had lived with Amy for a while. And she's like, let's move. You pick the place. So I went out looking for places. I find this house. It's right across from Wells Park. I think it's a sweet setup. It's different. It's unique. And in the back of the house, there's an above ground pool. And it's got a slide. And I'm like, this is awesome. You got a pool. We got the park right over here. It's kind of a house.
That does sound awesome.
And she walks in there and, and looks at the pool. She's like, are you nuts? I am never going in that thing. And I was like, I just thought that I would kind of enjoy the pool. But then you get in there and you're living there and it's this above ground pool and the family's down there. And what am I going to do? Hang out in this pool that's, got, you can't really swim. It's, there's no room. And, who knows, the mom's there and the dad's there and the kid's there. And they were kind of an odd duck of a family. So I never used the pool.
Aww.
But for a minute, I was excited about it. And now we got a family that is fighting the city of Kankakee. They want to put an above ground pool and the city is saying no. Now, and the family is fighting back. They've purchased this pool. They've got this above ground pool and they want to chill out in the pool. And so I'm reading this and I'm gonna. The names of this pool are gonna remain nameless. But I'm just thinking to myself, like, does anybody swim in an above ground pool anymore? Like, do people do that? I don't, like, you can't really swim. Like, why wouldn't you just, like, chill out on your lawn? You know, like, I get it. If you got a below ground pool and you could swim laps and stuff and whatever, you can jump in. That's sweet.
They're there to cool you off.
They are?
Yeah.
How do you get the water in there?
What do you mean?
You gotta get a hose and you gotta fill it up.
That's it.
So you get the hose from the garage, you fill up the above ground pool,
mm-hmm.
and then you get in the above ground pool.
And you just chill. Yeah, that's what you do.
Does that make any sense?
It does.
Who would do that?
I would do it.
You for real?
I think I would.
Have you ever?
I had, yeah. When I was growing up, my grandfather used to take one of those pools and put it out in a lawn, and we would use it all the time. It was fun.
So am I being a snob right now?
You are.
I mean, maybe I am.
It's the little things, Mark. Like an above ground pool.
I would just like a little support at the text line if people actually still do this stuff.
Actually, it's funny because one of my friends just put one out a couple days ago.
Are you serious?
I kid you not. Yeah.
Did you get in?
No, I didn't.
It's too cold out here to get in right now. But you
56 degrees.
But will you?
Actually, you can get a nice tan. So yeah, probably I would.
Vivian's going to be chilling at the above ground. Well, I hope that this works out for our friends who are trying to build a pool. And the reason why they're being denied is apparently there's a floodplain that they're in.
Mm.
I'm like, look, man, if it's going to flood, what's the difference? What, the water from that pool, this above ground pool is going to make it, it's going to put the whole city underwater? Doesn't make any sense to me. I think the guy calling on line one is a special guest for us right now. As we wrap up the show here, we started out the show tonight, and I got him, Vivian. You know, yeah. We started out the show tonight about 3 hours ago. It had just gone final. The St. Louis Blues had won their first ever Stanley Cup. And I opened up the phone lines and said, look, we're a first-class city. We want to send congratulations down to St. Louis. Let's get a tape of all these WGN people calling in. We can send it to KMOX and tell them that, hey, we know that we're rivals and we'll forever be rivals, but this is your night, and we want to show that we're all class here. So this feels like an appropriate way to end the show because there's a Chicagoan who now works down in St. Louis. He's given up his Blackhawks attire for Blues attire. He's in Boston tonight. He used to work for this radio station. Now he does pre and post for the St. Louis Blues on KMOX. Chris Raby joining us right now. Raby, I just want you to know that we're all class up here, buddy. We're giving you credit. Congratulations. You're a Stanley Cup champion.
I'm not necessarily.
You are.
Sure. All class. What's up, dude?
Dude, you are on the ice. I see pictures. You got to be in the building for Game 7. You beat Judd Surratt, who used to work on this radio station. Raby over Surratt. Weren't you Surratt's intern or is something?
Oh yeah, yeah, man. I think because you like left early one day, I had to like produce a Blackhawks game as an intern or something.
That never would have happened. I wouldn't have done that.
It was crazy, man. Crazy. I was thinking about that. And, you know, watching this run, and it's funny because I obviously, like you said, grew up in Chicago and then left and was actually working in St. Louis when the Cubs kind of started their run a couple of years ago and was kind of on the other side of it, which was nuts. And now to be a part of the Blues winning the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history, pretty crazy.
Yeah. So you lose game 6 at home, Raby, and then you got to go on the road. Do you think it was over, or do you have confidence?
Yeah, no, man, I really, and I'm sure Boston people would have said the same thing, but I really just felt the way that this year had gone that this team was gonna win. That they felt, I don't know about a team of destiny, but you go from last place to first place and do some pretty incredible things and are one of the two teams left standing in the final. It was just pretty remarkable. I didn't know. It just felt like the story was going to end this way after everything the team had been through and everything the city's been through, and Blues fans are so used to the season ending in generally like the most extravagantly heartbreaking way possible. So it just seemed like this team was different. And very nerve-wracking the first period. The Bruins were pretty much dominating the game, but Blues goaltender Jordan Binnington made some incredible saves, and then the Blues get a couple at the end of the period, including one with 8 seconds left, and then kind of put them away in the third.
Well, as you know, Ravy, I'm Chris Ravy, joining us, KMOX.
You're all class.
Well, right, that, and I'm a hockey guy, and I'm watching the...
Yeah, you're a big puckhead.
I'm a big puckhead, and I'm watching that first period. I'm thinking, the Bruins' Corsi's got to be way better than the Blues. I mean, they had the puck the whole time, man. Their Corsi was rolling. But, you know, that's the game of hockey, the way the puck bounces, and the Blues, you know, they capitalize on their opportunities. I mean, I was watching. I was right there, baby, just so you know.
It was all Carmen. Yeah, they had, it was good, they had four shots on goal in the first period and two goals.
Right, right.
I mean, as a puckhead, you'd probably consider that a pretty favorable ratio.
I mean, I was going to say that's efficiency.
Hang on, I'm going to crunch some numbers. That's about a 50% goal Corsi
2 out of 4
equivalent ratio. Yeah, two out of four.
Right, right. And I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, that's phenomenal. I mean, you didn't have the puck.
That's a good Corsi.
But you kept it out of you kept it out of your net. You kept the biscuit out of the basket, and you put two biscuits in.
Do that.
And you had to like your chances. I'm gonna
if
run.
You score more goals than they score. You're
right.
In good shape. That's Corsi.
And winning is better than losing. This does not suck for St. Louis, right? Like,
The suck factor was low. The excellence factor was through the roof by the end of the game.
I mean, is this gonna make up for the fact that the Cardinals are bad or not good? How's that? That one bad's a little bit too harsh. Like, how will this resonate in St. Louis?
Well, it's been great. They've kind of masked all the Cardinals' deficiencies to this point. I mean, people are so used to the Cardinals' success and just track record. And, you know, the Blues have never played into June. Like, it's crazy. Everyone's kind of looking around at each other the last couple of weeks like, all right, so Memorial Day's gone. The kids are out of school. Like, it's June, and there's still hockey being played. I know that for the Blackhawks, you know, took some getting used to in 2009 and then a couple of times after that because it was a while where they didn't have that. But this is just, you know, I don't even know what it's going to be like. I mean, it's going to be, I think, the biggest party St. Louis has seen because it's just so much different than any of the Cardinals' success. So, yeah, parade on Saturday, and we'll see. We'll see. There might be, I think the Bud Light rating zone factor will be pretty high in the city.
It's like the Rams never left, and I mean, at this point, yeah, we might as well bring back the St. Louis Hawks. Let's get some NBA going on down there. I mean,
I would love that.
Right? I mean, why not? Come on. You think that I think St. Louis would support a team. Well, listen, man, just before you go, I wanted to get you on here and give you congratulations. You've been working at this radio thing for a while now, Chris Raven. You got to have a special, special night, so congratulations. And I had one other point that I wanted to tell you, other than the fact that, you know, don't next year, it's Taze, it's Kane, the Hawks are coming after you and all that, but this is your night. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Layla Anderson, the 11-year-old, incredible fan who's got an autoimmune disease, and she's the Blues flew her out for Game 7. That's the coolest story in sports going right now. I don't know if have you met her? Did you get to see her out there?
Oh yeah, she was down on the ice after, and it's crazy. Like, her doctors just cleared her to fly. She hadn't been able to fly. She's been in St. Louis for the playoffs, and yeah, it was amazing. Just kind of puts things in perspective, you see her around the team. You're right, it's pretty darn cool.
It's the power of sport right there. Well,
it's the mom power of sports.
I'm sending that one to the Radio Hall of Fame. Chris Raby, talk to you soon, brother. Be good.
You're the best. Later.
Chris Raby, KMOX. All right, we got to get out of here. Actually, yeah, we got one little quick promo to play, then I'll get you into news, and then Nick D coming up, 720 WGN.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
It is to play that.
It is over. And yes, that was an Aubrey Mumpower name drop by Chris Raby right there. That's just a beautiful moment in WGN time. All right, thanks for listening tonight. Thanks for texting in. Thanks to Ethan Blumenthal for coming in the studio. The Wedding Crasher, Vivian Lanoue, thanks so much for producing that. I really, really appreciate
it. You got it.
Don Kleppen with the news, and, of course, Vic with it now. I will see you over the weekend.